Welcome to a Veterans Podcast, powered by Wisconsin Veterans Network, the show where we hear unique, inspiring stories from veterans all over. Veterans who've transitioned, who've overcome obstacles, and even those still struggling. We will learn all veterans have a unique story, ones filled with pain and triumphs, and we will learn no veteran is alone, no matter the path they took. We share their stories to help motivate and inspire the world, to help understand what it means to be a veteran, and most of all, we share to give them a voice amongst the noise. You can find us at aveteranspodcast.com to learn more and how you can be a part of the show. Welcome back to A Veterans Podcast. This is Kelsey, and I am glad you are here. Sorry it's taken us so long to get back in the groove. Things have been busy at Wisconsin Veterans Network. We are helping a lot of veterans kind of get their rent together and get out of homelessness. So it's been a little crazy, but I am so incredibly excited about the show we have today. So today is a little bit different. We have Sergeant First Class Sean Ambrose. I think I said his last name correctly. And he is still very much active duty, but he has such an awesome story. So some of you may be familiar with that name, as he wrote a book called Ghosts of the Valley, which I'm sure we will talk about today. And he has two bronze stars with V's for valor. I probably said that wrong, so don't judge me. And he really has some incredible, motivating, uplifting, good stuff to share. And I think that's important, especially around the holidays, seasonal depression's kicking in for many, PTSD is rough, isolation, COVID, all the things, just kind of a recipe for loneliness and isolation and just kind of feeling blah. So I'm hoping having Sean on the show today will be exciting and inspiring. Let me know what you think and let us know. We are on Instagram, Veterans Podcast. We are now on Facebook on our own page of Veterans Podcast. So look us up and we can't wait to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show, what we should add or take out or whatever, let us know. So before we get started, today's show is sponsored by Wisconsin Veterans Network, an established nonprofit ran by veterans for veterans. Their mission is to provide guidance and support for all veterans, whether guard, reserve, active, or even a bad discharge. If you're looking for any kind of assistance in the state of Wisconsin, they are your resource. If you have a question about benefits, are currently homeless, give them a call today. You can find more information about them at wisvetsnet.org or at aveteranspodcast.com. All right, let's give him a call.
Hello?
Hi, is Sean there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome to A Veterans Podcast. My name's Kelsey. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited. So I'm going to like fangirl, but that's probably the wrong thing to say. But
no.
So we've been following our podcast has been following your Instagram for a while. And I'm like,
oh, really?
This dude is pretty legit. Like, I should just reach out and see if he'll come on the show. So I totally didn't think you would because you have like 1,000,000,000,000,000 followers. And
no.
So when you hit me up and you were like, yeah, I'll do it. I was like, oh, this is super exciting. And I was like telling everybody. So I really hyped you up. So don't let us down. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we're just going to
jump. Can you hear me fine?
Oh yeah. I can hear you good. You're really good.
Okay.
We're just going to kind of jump in and see where this road leads us. You are our first like active duty person to have on the show.
Okay.
So I kind of came up with a few new questions, so hopefully our audience is excited, because I'm excited.
Gotcha.
So why did you choose to join the military, and why, unfortunately, did you choose the Army?
Well, so I initially joined for a girl because I'm stupid. I joined for my high school sweetheart, and you know, because she was a year ahead of me, and I was just being lazy, and she was already going to like nursing school, and so she was kind of asking me like, hey, like, what are you doing with your life? Like, what's your 5-year plan? And I'm, you know, I'm 18. I don't have a 5-year plan. I'm barely making it through community college. So, so I surprised her and I was like, well, you know, the Army's handing out 5-year plans. And, so I signed up and, you know, and, was getting ready to ship out. And I surprised her. She left me. So I was stuck.
Oh no.
Yeah. But it was probably, the best immature decision I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And her and I have kept in contact. She's married, has kids now. She's doing great, so I don't resent her one bit.
Oh, well, that's good. Maybe you were like the, good luck Chuck, right? So what year did you join?
I joined on Valentine's Day, 2008.
Oh, what a romantic. There you go. Look at you.
Yeah, right.
So then where were you on September 11th, and did that have any impact on you joining, or like what did that have any deeper meaning to you or anything like that?
I mean, I think anybody who's joined after September 11th, regardless of how old they were when it happened, kind of keeps that in the back of their mind. But I want to say initially, no, it wasn't like that was the reason, just because I was younger when it happened. I was 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was south in LA, and he woke me up at like whatever our time was on the West Coast, like 6:30 a.m. our time, and told me to turn the news on. He was showing me the news, and I saw the planes, and I just didn't understand it. I couldn't comprehend with what was going on. I just thought it was an accident. I didn't understand that this was an attack. My dad, I could see he was kind of freaked out, and I'd never really seen him like that before.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't understand it. And it wasn't until, you know, a couple years later that I started to kind of grasp what was going on as the war in Iraq started in 2003, and I was getting ready to start high school. But I always kind of had an interest in serving. My grandpa served, and that was about the extent of it. You know, my uncle was a SWAT officer and a helicopter pilot for the SWAT, but no one really served except my grandfather. So he got me to watch like the 4th of July special that Washington, D.C. used to hold every year, and they would exchange war stories, and he'd get me into war movies and stuff. So he kind of like pushed me to grasp an interest on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of just where it came from.
Well, that's cool. I like, my grandpa used to tell me stories about when he was in the Navy, and that's obviously the most superior branch, so that's why I chose it. But I learned once I was in that his stories might not have necessarily been as true as I thought they were when I was younger. So he would tell me like these crazy stories about the ship going sideways and whatever, and I was like, oh man, that's going to be crazy. And then when I was out on the ocean, I was like, this is not even real life. So a little disappointing, but it was still cool. So I'm just going to ask right away, like, you wrote a book called Ghosts of the Valley, which I ordered from Amazon. I haven't read it yet. It should be on my doorstep as we speak. But what made you want to write a book while you're still active duty, and like kind of give us the background on that?
Yeah. So, you know, for years, you know, since my deployment, you know, for the past 6-8 years or whatever it's been, a lot of seniors, mentors of mine have kind of dabbled remarks as far as, hey, you should write a book. Like, you have a very abnormal story. It's just not something that normally happens, and it's something that should be told. And I kind of just took it as a compliment, but I never really wanted to indulge in that thought, because I didn't want to put myself in a vulnerable state of having my information out there in today's society of, you know, the technology and instant and everyone, you know, haters. And I didn't want that type of publicity in my life. I'm already a very anxious person, so I didn't want it. So I just kind of shrugged it off for years and never did anything about it. And, you know, since my deployments, I've always been in leadership positions. I've always been in a line unit. I've had soldiers underneath me going to the field, doing rotations, just constantly working, you know, weekends and holidays and everything. And so I was always kept pretty busy after my deployment, which kind of suppressed some of my thinking, which, you know, is good to an extent.
Yeah.
But then I found out very quickly that PTSD will evolve and mutate to your current situation or scenario, wherever you're living in. Mm-hmm. Because I got here to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri last August, and this is the first time since I've been a sergeant in the past 10 years, 11 years, that I haven't had a soldier underneath me, and I don't have any late night phone calls, no field cycles. I have the weekends off. I'm off every day by 3, and which is great. I get to spend more time with myself, but
but is that really great sometimes?
No, because it leaves a lot of time to think, and thinking forces you to reopen doors that haven't been walked through in some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching my PTSD evolve for the first time, and I didn't understand it. You know, years I thought that maybe I had suppressed it enough that I was going to be okay, but I was watching it reform in front of me, and I didn't know what to do. So the thought of putting my pain on paper initially was not to write a book. It wasn't to help the veteran community initially. It was a very selfish moment of mine of I just needed to get this off my chest, and that's really all I did. I didn't set out to write a book. It was I opened up Microsoft Word and I just started pounding the keyboard away, and as I was done, you know, I had somebody look over it and just tell me what they thought. And they were like, dude, you should really make this into a book. I'm like, you know, are you serious? Like, you think it's that good? And they said, yeah, you know, like, you know, they had a lot of potential. So I relooked it, reformatted it a little bit, but I didn't know what I was doing. I'm not a traditional author. I didn't brainstorm. I didn't write ideas out.
Mm-hmm.
The book is different as far as, like, when you read it, and you'll see when you actually read it, there's a lot of italicized verbiage. Like, it'll, you know, talk, like, it's explaining what I'm, it's everything's told from my perspective. So, like, it's talking about things that are happening around me during a battle, and then midway, it just stops, and it's, like, italicized, and it's my own internal thoughts, because that's, when I was writing it, that's what I was trying to think. What was I thinking in that moment?
Mm-hmm.
And I just left that all in there, and I guess, apparently, people think that, oh, that your writing style is amazing. I'm like, really? I just left it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't trying to do anything special, but apparently it grasped the reader to put themselves in my boots a little bit better. So, yeah. So, but now it turned into this thing where, you know, it's helping people. I had a bunch of people endorse the book.
Mm-hmm.
A retired sergeant major of the Army, a recent Medal of Honor recipient.
That's Captain wild. Robert.
Yeah, it blew my mind when these dudes were like, put my name on your back of your book. I'm like, holy crap, like, this is crazy.
Yeah, for
sure.
So, yeah,
sure. It just kind of took off.
Well, and I think, too, I guess from a person like myself who's been out a few years, I've been out since 2014, when I read a book that somebody in the military wrote, whether it's Lone Survivor or when I read your book, you feel like a connection with that person. Because they've been through the suck, you've been through the suck, like, we've all been there. So to have somebody else kind of reaffirm the thoughts that you've had, I think is important for a lot of veterans.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of my goal now, is just, you know, I want to bridge different gaps. I want to bridge the gap between combat veterans and other combat veterans, let them know they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, obviously the civilian community, so that they can understand what our war has been like for us the past 20 years, and then also with previous combat veterans, you know, Vietnam, Desert Storm veterans, so they can understand our war, as well as future combat veterans, you know, like the guys that are joining the Army and stuff now that are going to experience combat at some point. Hopefully they can learn from our endeavors, our successes and failures.
Yeah, I think that's really important, especially like the Vietnam era, who didn't really get a chance to talk about their war and like work through it. I think them seeing examples and people like you and other, you know, veterans who are telling their story, I think that gives them a platform to share too, which is so important. Did you find in writing your book and like kind of putting all your thoughts out there, was that therapeutic for you? Was that like re-traumatizing, if that's even the right word? How did you work through that?
Yeah, no, I think it was. It was surprisingly a lot more therapeutic than I thought it would be. I enjoyed it. It was, some things were painful reliving because, you know, once I committed and said, okay, I'm going to do this, you know, I reopened my computer. I went through all the pictures and videos, like, and I filmed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I have a whole folder on my desktop of just full of dead bodies.
Oh.
But they're full of battle damage assessments. Like, we had to go and make sure that these guys weren't bin Laden. We were checking for HVTs and stuff. So I had to go through all these images, these combat videos, and just kind of refresh my memory on some things, and it helped me spark ideas and thoughts. Stuff like that. So some of it was hard, but it wasn't unbearable pain, because, you know, that was one thing that a lot of people ask me, like, hey, if you're gonna write this book, like, are you gonna be good? Like, can you do this? Like, is it gonna affect you? And I was like, I see these things every day. Like, there hasn't been a day that goes by I don't see them. So it's not like it's any different for me. Mm-hmm. It's just enhanced, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So being that the first time you won an award, because I Google searched you, a lot of really great information comes up when you Google your name, just so you know. So
I've heard.
So I Googled you, and, you know, you were a private, right? Or a PFC or something like that, the first time you got a Bronze Star, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you're pretty, like, brand new in the Army at that point.
Yeah, I think I'd been in for maybe just over a year and a half or so.
Wow. Like, I try to remember where I was at a year into my, like, military service, and I was not at the point you were. So that's pretty cool. So
I was lucky to have good leaders. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. How did that affect, like, the rest of your service? Because I feel like in a situation like you were in, that obviously has a huge impact on if you're going to stay in, get out. Like, did that, I mean, kind of where was your thought process after all of that happened?
Yeah, I mean, so I enlisted for 5 years, and then by the time I got done, like, second deployment, I wanted to add like a year left my contract, and I figured, well, things are going good so far. I kind of enjoy my job, you know, and I signed up like another two years of mine. I signed up for another two. And the next, you know, I'm at 12 years. But then I was like, I'm already over halfway mark. I'm not doing anything else. I might as well just stay in. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. So how has your experiences, how do you use those experiences to kind of motivate veterans or motivate, like, junior guys, or kind of lead us down the path of what you're doing now as far as mentoring and kind of advocating for veterans and stuff like that?
Well, as far as the, like, right now, I'm teaming up with a lot of veterans, veteran-owned businesses. I'm just using my book as a platform. I'm using my social media platform to help others. I figure I didn't get here by myself, and I don't deserve to go any further by myself. So I'm going to try to take as many people as I can with me. Anytime I get a chance to highlight another veteran, I try to do so. You know, I hand out my personal cell phone number and email to people who need someone to talk to. I check my messages, even like my request box and stuff. So I just try to be there for other people. It's not any one thing that I'm kind of doing right now. I haven't really figured out what that one thing is. I just know I want to help veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still trying to figure that out myself. But any chance I get to help somebody, that's just what I want to do, to give back.
That's cool. As a leader, so I envision when people listen to this podcast, this is like they're driving down the road, angry at life because they're a veteran and mad and disgruntled and whatever. Or maybe they're at home or whatever the case may be. But because this episode will come out right before the holidays, do you have any kind of words of wisdom or advice or like anything to kind of help people who may be listening who are like, man, I miss it. I wish I was still in. I wish, you know, I miss that senior leadership kind of motivating me on a Friday afternoon. Do you have any kind of motivating words you'd like to share with people?
Yeah, I mean, I just want people to know that, like, they're not alone. All those feelings. I mean, like I said, I'm still active duty, so I don't know what it's like to transition out, and I'm not going to act like I do. I just know that there are days where I miss, like, deployment life, and I miss that brotherhood, and I miss just that close bond with someone else. And so, like, I know that feeling, and, you know, you're not alone. So I would say, you know, like, for example, like the suicide rate for the veteran community right now is obviously an epidemic, and a lot of that is because of thoughts people are having, kind of like you just described, and they're just feeling bad and disgruntled for whatever reason. Everyone has their own individual reasons, but the one thing that we could do right now, instead of doing 22 push-ups or whatever it is that people do, like, reach out to somebody. Check on a buddy you haven't checked on in a while, and you might find that you could have saved them from blowing their head off, or you could have saved yourself because you're going to reconnect with somebody that you haven't talked to in a while. And you might find that spark that you've been looking for as far as that brotherhood. And you might find that, you know, somebody else is equally as mad and disgruntled as you are, because trust me, we all are.
Yeah.
So you might find somebody that you could be disgruntled with. You don't have to do anything alone.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, I think I had heard you say that on a different, you know, it was Facebook creeping and whatever, don't judge me. but I had heard you mention that 22 push-ups, like, that's all fine and dandy to bring awareness to it. But I do agree. I think reaching out, and I actually, when I see somebody on my newsfeed doing the push-ups, I text like an old friend or somebody I served with, like, hey, just thinking about you. Hope everything's going well, you know, whatever. And and I kind of use that as my reminder to reach out, because I think we all get busy and sometimes it's easy to forget, but it is important, especially now with like isolation and everything going on in the world. So so since we do a lot of talk about transition on our podcast, as somebody who has spent a great amount of time in, do you have any concerns about when you get out of the military, or have you heard things that now you're like, oh man, am I ready for this? Or
yeah, definitely. I'm scared shitless on getting out. I'm not ready for that. I honestly have no idea what I want to do when I grow up. So, I mean, this is all I know, is the military, you know? So, yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what I'm gonna do next. I don't know where I'm gonna live next. You know, when that time comes and I get out, that transition period, I hear a lot of horror stories from people in the VA and all that stuff. So yeah, it does scare the shit out of me. But all I can do is take the last, you know, couple of years before I get out and try to figure myself out, job search, and just do as much self-development research as well as find mentors of people who have transitioned and find out their successes and failures so that I can make the best decision possible for my family.
Well, you're already like 10 steps ahead, because even having that thought process is really great. Most of the people we've interviewed, including myself, had no plan. You know, we were like, oh, yeah, we're military. When we get out, we'll get a job. No big deal. But it is a big deal. And you don't necessarily get that job right away. Not to scare you or anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's crazy. So, real quick, I'm just trying to think. Do you want to – so I had kind of prefaced before you got on, I talked about how you had two Bronze Stars. Do you say with valor? I don't know how Army things work like that. Don't judge me.
Yeah.
So do you kind of want to like share your story, or do you want to like drop words of wisdom? Whatever you want to do, man. Like, we're just excited
whatever
to
you
have
want,
you.
I want.
Yeah. I mean, if you just want to tell your story so that the people who are like, they keep talking about all these cool things this guy did, but we don't know. You want to just brag on yourself for a little bit?
I don't like to, but whatever you want me to do.
Hey, but that's why we invited you, because you're a big deal.
Do you want me to talk about which one, like both of them or one or?
I mean, sure, you can talk about both of them. It kind of gives you some street cred, you know? People like those things.
I do not.
But it's what made you who you are today.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, that's one thing I talk about a little bit in the book is that, you know, when I got, like, for example, like, you talked about how I got, when I got my first Bronze Star, I was 18 in my Purple Heart, and then a year and a half, 2 years later, I'm a sergeant, I get my second Bronze Star with Valorant. You know, by the time I'm 21, I have two awards that most people never earn and or they die for. Mm-hmm. And so it was very hard for me to deal with the publicity and the telephone games and people talking that weren't even there in the battles and mm-hmm. people just their own opinions. And it was a lot for my younger self to try to fathom and control. And I didn't like all the just, you know, I mean, like our award ceremony, like as soon as it was done, there's 190 or 180 other soldiers behind me in my company. And I get the cameras all shoved in my face. And these guys all serve in the same country I did and put foot to ass like I did. But I was the one out of 180 something in that entire, you know, gymnasium that was getting cameras shoved in their faces and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just hard for me to deal with. So, well, I feel like I've earned enough for my lifetime of recognition. I'm grateful for it. But I feel like I've had enough. It's time for me to get back and let others receive recognition.
So then let me change my question because now you made me feel bad. So
I'll tell the story. I'll tell the story. It's not a big deal.
No, it's okay. No, but that's a good point. I think you did a lot before you were 21, like a huge amount, and you made a really big difference, and you had people alongside you, you know, busting ass and doing the same thing. So do you find yourself now, like when you get to a new command or you're at Fort Lost in the Woods now, which I think like five people are stationed there ever. So
yeah.
do you find yourself trying to just stay under the radar and kind of not just skate by, but kind of become less noticed? Or I know you're using this as a platform to help people kind of transition from that battlefield mindset to home. Kind of,
yeah,
if you want to talk about that.
Part. Yeah, that's the hard part is finding that balance because, yeah, if I put myself in the bushes and I hide out, then there, you know, from what I'm trying to do or from my platform, I can't make a difference then. So I kind of have to expose myself in order for that to be successful. I just have to find a nice even balance so I don't come off as a narcissistic asshole.
Yeah, nobody likes that.
Yeah, and it's hard when you're trying to tell a story and you're saying, well, look what I did. And, I mean, yeah, there are amazing stories because I saw people do some amazing things that day, on both those days. But like I said, because I'm telling it from my point of view, it comes off very narcissistic. So I just have to find a way to pitch it. But like, for example, I don't mind telling the story because specifically like the first battle, my lieutenant was killed. And so I made it like my sole purpose that I was going to talk about him and tell his name and story, you know, to help his name and his sacrifices live on. Because I was always told that if you don't talk about someone, they die twice. So I do everything I can to talk about all the individuals I served with. So when I do tell the stories, yes, I do tell my point of view and things that I did, but I make sure that I bring all these other guys with me when I do it.
Yeah, I think that that's really important. I like how you said that, where when you stop talking about them, they die twice. Because I think a lot of people are afraid to bring up somebody who's died, like that they've served with or whatever, because they don't want to reopen that door. But I think it's also important because that person's family members want to know that, you know, your lieutenant.
It wasn't
or,
for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's really admirable that you do that. Yeah, I don't know. I think, so I have a different perspective on like deployments because obviously Navy deployments are just a little bit different than the Army. But I've always had an admiration for people who served at, like boots on the ground because, you know, I was out in the ocean. Did we see some crazy stuff? Of course, but not anything like you guys. And So I think there's a little bit of like a different appreciation for what you've done. And I think it's cool to see somebody like you who still is very normal and doing very normal things and helping their junior guys or gals or whatever kind of get through coming back home. So I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit and if you have any, like, words of wisdom that you want to share with people who've come back home from a deployment and are struggling to kind of get back on track, or if you have anything to say about that.
I mean, it's different for everybody. So, I just had to find a hobby. I would go to the gym and take a lot of my anger out there, or I would draw, or I would do graphic design, you know, just small things just to get your mind off of it. But that's going to vary from person to person because we all have different hobbies. But I think the biggest thing is, one, finding a hobby, and two, talking about it with somebody, because, I'm a firm believer that repetition is everything. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I can talk about these things now and not be as emotional as I was years ago was because I've done it so many times now, and it helps get it off your chest. As much as you think it doesn't, repetition seriously is everything. And so it just got easier the more I talked about it and told the stories.
That's cool. I think that's great information. So here's your chance to do a commercial about what you've got going on, talk about your book, where people can find it, where they can find you on social media. They could just Google you, but that's not as exciting to talk about. So this is your chance to kind of like talk about what you've got going on, what you're hoping to do in the future, and kind of let our viewers know where they can find you.
Yeah, so like I said, I wrote a book called Ghost of the Valley, and it's about two, and I'll just give you a little synopsis. It's about two major experiences. It has some other things sprinkled in there, but it mainly talks about two battles. One was a rescue mission in which, like I said, my lieutenant was killed, and eight of us volunteered to go up the mountain and rescue them, and they ended up being a lot farther up the mountain than we thought. And I went up as a medic, even though I'm not a medic, I went up in a medical role. I became wounded myself, and I learned a lot that day on what leadership's supposed to look like, because I was the youngest and only private on that hill. The rest of them were all sergeants above, and they all were trying to take care of me. And a lot of my leadership decisions and foundation was built that day off of those individuals. And less than 2 years later, I found myself as a sergeant back in the same valley in the mountains of Afghanistan, where I was leading a team of three soldiers and a gun truck, pushed back into a valley that was very, very much enemy territory. And we went to go save a humanitarian aid convoy that was cut off by the enemy. And in doing so, there was an Afghan police officer who was wounded, and I had to go out and save him by myself. And in doing so, we got cut off and surrounded ourselves. So it ended up being 16 of us Americans versus 150 enemy fighters.
Yikes.
Who completely surrounded us and got within 8 feet of us and were trying to completely overrun and cut us off. But we obviously, defended them or defended our positions and withheld them off. And I talked a little bit about the things that I had to do that day. I had to think about what my sergeants were doing for me when I was a private on that hill in 2009 and how I had to apply it now as a leader. So, you know, this isn't a leadership book. I'm not teaching you a new leadership philosophy you've never heard of before, mm-hmm. but I hope that I inspire young leaders to make sound and good decisions for other people, for the betterment of other people. And like I said, I want to help veterans. I want, you know, whether that's mentally, physically, I don't like have any one thing. I just want to help veterans. So hopefully other veterans reach out, and hopefully the book is a good platform for me to expand into other things. What those are yet, I don't know. But, hopefully we'll see where it goes. It'll help a lot of other people out along the way.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited. I got the Amazon notification while I was sitting here that it has been delivered to my front porch. So
nice.
I'm excited. So where can people find you, like, on social media or that kind of stuff?
So Ghost of the Valley has its own Facebook and Instagram. And then my personal Facebook is Sean Tobias Ambries. And my Instagram is Chief_PinkMist. And like I said, I check all my messages. If anyone writes me, I always respond. If anyone has a book and they would like me to sign it, they can send it to me. I'll give my address and I'll send it back. Put a little sticker on there saying it was signed by the author. So, like I said, contact me if anyone needs anything.
Awesome. Well, the last question I have for you before you go is probably the most serious question. How many points do you think the Navy is going to beat the Army by this weekend?
Well, I don't think they're going to beat them, but I'll say 28-21 Army.
Oh, boo. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But thank you so much for coming on the show today. We appreciate your wisdom and your advice. And, thanks for sticking around, even though I'm a Navy one.
Of course.
And we look forward to sharing your podcast with our listeners, and maybe you'll share it with your listeners, and it'll be a good time. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Well, that was awesome. Super cool, new perspective. That was really neat. So thank you for listening to A Veterans Podcast today. To learn more about us, to hear previous episodes, or if you are interested in being on the show, you can find us at aveteranspodcast.com or at A Veterans Podcast on Instagram. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Wisconsin Veterans Network, a Wisconsin nonprofit operated by veterans and serving veterans in need. Until next time.